SRO in here, huh?
We were just talking about you.
Really? Why?
Tom,
because
told
you're
us
amazing.
To yeah, that's why. We don't want to go to your head.
He said you were a creature of theater.
Big one?
A creature of theater. You
a creature
theater.
Of theater. Yeah, sort of. Kind of.
He really liked the intense moments that you guys had on screen.
What intense moments? Which one?
Deny.
Every single
every
one.
Every now and then?
Yes.
You know, I really liked how almost single-handedly you embodied the whole Vietnam conflict.
Exactly.
How hard does that have to do, or is that just an everyday thing?
I don't know. I don't know that that's, you know, what happened. I had a really, really wonderful kinship with the military advisors who were around. A couple of them were actually Vietnam vets, which was great. So understanding and having lived through that particular era gave me a whole nother way of looking into it or approaching it. So when you say the war wasn't lost, it was abandoned, it has another sort of resonance for that character, and hopefully people listening to it and watching him and how he reacts to it, and the reverence that he has for his men when he accepts that mission, which is supposed to be just a little, you know, babysitting drop-off mission, and what happens when his men get, you know, killed and he starts trying to figure out a way to exact revenge for those men and to save the ones that are left. And hopefully that's based in some reality that people can look at, feel, and understand. Because, like I said, to most people, you know, pretty much everybody on the film, you know, you got great actors here. You got John Goodman, you got Tom, you got Bree, you got Corey, and
Jesus,
everybody.
Yeah, I know.
You know, everybody. That as good as we can be, the film's no good unless the big ape and the other things are fantastic and amazing. So once they, you know, or we ask the questions all the time. Sometimes we got good answers, sometimes not so good. Like, okay, how big is it? Or, you know, well, where is it? How fast is it? You know, so sometimes we got good answers to those questions, sometimes not so much.
So as a Vietnamese American, how was shooting in Vietnam? Because you guys portrayed the city very well. I mean, the country very well, and the
portrayed the country. The country was portraying itself.
No, I mean the culture. The culture on that was portrayed in the movie was very 70s.
And oh, that part of it.
Yes, that part of it. The beginning part.
Oh, I'm not sure what they did.
But did you, were you in Vietnam at all? Shoot any? You were, right? Yeah. So how
but
was
But none of that
it?
Stuff was in Vietnam. All that 70s stuff that you saw, we did in Hawaii.
Well, I got tricked.
Yeah, you did. Well, that's what movies do.
So how'd you like Vietnam?
So how was Vietnam in Hawaii?
Oh, Vietnam's awesome. Vietnam's awesome. That dock scene in Vietnam,
yes,
where everybody's getting on the boat and whatever, that's actually John Wayne Airport.
Really?
No.
That's part of a reshoot. It's not even part of the original shoot.
Oh, my goodness.
But Vietnam's great. Hawaii's cool. You know, Hawaii was basically us, you know, doing all that trekking through the high grass and the bamboo forest and all that stuff. At Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Basically, right?
We'd have to stop shooting sometimes so they can, you know, tour bus is going by and all these people in this Jurassic. And, oh my God, and that's where they had the Velociraptors.
Yeah.
Who are those people? But we did that. The Gold Coast was another sort of terrain where we were, you know, walking, did a lot of walking. Where the streams and the rivers and all that stuff was in an interesting sort of way. But, you know, and then there were times you had to stop shooting there, go cut because, you know, it's like five kangaroos hopping through. There's not supposed to be any kangaroos on Skull Island. And then Vietnam was just kind of majestic and spectral and awesome And when we got out into, you know, the real countryside of where we, you know, did most of the stuff out there with the handprints on the mountainside and all that stuff, you could see why an invading force would have a problem winning any kind of conflict in that place.
Exactly.
If you weren't born there and didn't have any business there and didn't have a spiritual connection to the land that was there, you wouldn't be able to handle that terrain. But a really, really, really cool and wonderful place to be. I mean, there were some locations we were in where the military advisors would say, you know, if you walk three clicks that way, you'll be in Laos.
Yeah, there's like
go over this hill right here. And we also still had those people who go out into the terrain to make sure there's no live ordnance still out there.
Oh, wow.
Because yeah, people are still stepping on mines or exploding bombs
that so
didn't
scary.
Explode in Vietnam. There's a lot of them.
So Tom really liked duck in Vietnam. What did you like to eat there?
Me?
Yeah.
I ate vegetables.
Growing up, growing up, were you a fan of the monster genres from Kong and Godzilla? Did you watch any of
really?
All of those?
Come on. Yeah, for real. I mean, yeah, man. Forever. Yeah, I've always been a big thing with teeth chasing you fan. You know? So I've always loved King Kong, Godzilla, Mothra, you know, whatever was there to chase you and, you know, make you afraid was great. And I'm still, you know, doing films that I went to see when I was a kid or wished I could have been in. It's like I'm still, I think I'm finally going to do The Blob.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, yes.
Awesome.
That would be amazing.
Are you Steve McQueen?
Huh?
Are you Steve McQueen?
No, I'm a victim.
I want to get back to you. You were talking earlier about, you know, the politics and the time period and everything. What I think this film distinguishes itself from the other movies with a giant ape in it is the fact that there's a political edge to this movie. And almost at times I would flash to Apocalypse Now thinking it was kind of a mix of the two. Did you see that or am I just drunk?
I don't know. I didn't see it because I was in the middle of it doing it.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what was in Jordan's mind or what was in somebody else's mind. I mean, there was a costume that I rejected that was very Apocalypse Now. You know, that I was like, nah, I'm not going to wear that. And I'm sure somebody wanted to play, you know, the Flight of the Valkyries while those helicopters were up there, but, you know, somebody found some better music that fitted the time just as well. I could see it, and I get it, but hopefully the camaraderie and the visuals that you get, the stuff that Justin had on his helmet, you know, informed some of it. The way Shay carried himself and the bandoliers and all that stuff, you know, reminds you of Apocalypse or what's the Oliver Stone?
Platoon.
Yeah, Platoon. Yeah, you can get a Platoon influence from that. But mostly, I just wanted to make sure that, I mean, there are times or there are things that happen. I worked with these military advisors on a couple of films, and representing soldiers in an honest and an earnest way is really important because of what they do and the sacrifices they make. So that when you're in certain formations or you're doing certain things, I know cinematically sometimes people want you to do things that look awesome, but I don't want to look stupid to people that have done that job.
Exactly.
So I'll say, no, we can't do that. You have to have, these guys have to be over here and they have to do that, and these guys have to be here and do that, or we can't walk in a formation like this because if something comes, everybody dies. And you'll get pushback because people are talking about the cinema, but the guys that are standing there that have done the job before are looking at you and going like, you know. So that's important to me.
So you have a stare-off with Kong. So what were you actually looking at on set? Or what did they give you as a...
A mirror.
A mirror?
I love it.
So you're eyeing yourself, mad dogging yourself.
Don't even care if it's true. I lied. Do you have it in your contract? Oh, sorry.
No, it's funny. I mean, seriously, you're looking in the mirror? Or?
No.
Of course you're looking at.
Well,
they give you a
visual. Yeah, to me,
they
mean, in my head, yeah. I mean, there's nothing there. I mean,
yeah.
We ask that question all the time. Like I said, where is it? How big is it?
Yeah.
How fast is it? And you get varying answers depending upon who you ask. You know, if you ask, you know, that person, they'll tell you one thing. You ask the special effects guy, he'll tell you one thing. You ask the visual effects guy, who's supposed to have the real idea, he'll tell you another thing. So it's just that. And sometimes it's just about the perspective of the camera. You know, it has nothing to do with that thing being there or a green screen or anything else. It's how you want to be perceived when it happens. And when, I guess when that first scene was conceived, that was another animatronic for it. But in my mind, if I'm sitting in a helicopter in an open doorway and this thing starts knocking my helicopters out of the air, I'm a badass, theoretically. So I just grab hold to the thing and step outside the helicopter and look at it. And if I can go face to face with nothing between me and the antagonist, then that's what it should be. And that's how I felt, and that's how I would want to see the movie if I was sitting there. Mm-hmm. And I think about that a lot. I think about me as an audience member, or I think about you as an audience member, in terms of what's the most dynamic thing that will make this particular scene work in this moment. And that's, you know, me and Kong face to face with nothing between us but air and opportunity. You know?
Would you say that was the most difficult scene for you to shoot? CGI wise, or was there, which one was
CGI wise?
Yeah,
was difficult to shoot. CGI wise, the most difficult thing to shoot was the last scene where he comes out of the lake and he falls right there in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because as many times as we asked the question, how big is he? Where is he? You know, it's like, okay, this is the one time when we're actually close enough to touch this thing. And in a real world or a logical world, a person like Packard, once he falls and hits the ground and he's knocked out, I would have gotten a rocket launcher or something and walked over there and put one through his eye or both eyes, because that's who Packard is.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the world of movies, you have to monologue and do shit.
What do you think of Jordan as a director? I mean, I
so,
was
like I was saying... Let me finish this.
Oh, okay.
So like I was saying, so it's difficult because when you ask that question at that point, somebody really has to have a logical answer for you about how big is he. Because there's his head. His head is right there on the ground, and we're standing there by his head. So you want to know... For real.
Yeah.
How big is he?
Exactly.
And he's not dead, and if he's not dead and he's breathing, if I walk up on him, then my clothes should move because he's he's doing this shit. And asking these questions, but sometimes logically people hadn't thought about that or hadn't thought that out. And it's like, am I the only motherfucker that thought that? And nobody can give you the right answer, but and then you become, well, I'm not going to kill him anyway, so fuck do I need to know that? And it becomes a whole nother kind of, you know, thing. But, you know, it works on screen when people see it, and people are used to heroes or the bad guys monologuing rather than killing the motherfucker they're supposed to kill when they're supposed to kill him. You know, which why I love John Wick. You know, it's like shoot him in the face, you know, shoot him in the arm, you know, shoot him in the chest. Everybody gets shot in the head. You don't have to worry about him coming back at you. You have to worry about turning your back and turning around. And that guy's like,
you guys
one in the face.
So,
he's done.
Oh, sorry.
So, Jordan, what do you think of him as a director? The guy who made the movie.
He's fun.
Tom said you guys saw some real creepy stuff out there, though, some spider snakes, real stuff.
Yeah.
Are you squeamish, or are you good with stuff like that?
I'm fine with stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a country kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that Nick Fury is back for Infinity War. So.
You know that?
Well,
how do you know that and I don't know that?
He does.
You know that for real? You know that for real?
Well, hopefully nobody's lying about that. So, Fake news.
Yeah. IMDb.
So okay. I'm curious, you know, what you're most excited about with that installment of the whole franchise.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I mean, I haven't seen it. I haven't heard that. I keep asking the same question. How big is it? How fast is it? Where is it? Am I in Infinity Wars? When do I start? Or the important question, they haven't answered either.
I was going to say back to one of the questions earlier that your character is really convincing. I mean, I thought you were scarier than some of the creatures.
Good.
So you did a wonderful job.
Thank you. Well, you know, for me, it's important that I do things that make sense to an audience, that make sense to me. And for me, sort of, this is sort of my homage to Gregory Peck, you know. So I'm like, you know, Ahab and King Kong, the white whale. I want to kill him. I got to have him. Yeah, die, you damn it, whale. All of that. But, you know, to have someone who does have a heart, who loves his men, who becomes unhinged because of the improbability and impossibility of the task, who does believe wholeheartedly that man's been on this planet for a very long time, mm-hmm. and there have always been things on this planet that are bigger, stronger, and faster, but we have one thing they don't have. We have ingenuity. I mean, we came up with spears, we came up with bow and arrows, we came up with bullets, we came up with bombs. So there's a way we can win. So when people say this is the only thing between us and the destruction of humanity, you know, if we kill this thing, then those other things. It's like, well, we'll kill this thing, we'll kill those too, because that's what we've always done. And you got to wholeheartedly, you know, buy into that and sell it. And hopefully, you know, that's what I did.
And your character is fearless. And I wonder if you as an actor find fear useful. Is it that part of the equation for you as an actor, the fear, or something that...
Well, sometimes I'm afraid that, you know, the person running the show is going to make me look stupid, but other than that, you know, no. I mean, movie sets are supposed to be a safe space to invade and explore and do all kinds of things, you know, and be okay when it's over. You know, that's why people, you know, cry and do this and do that and die and come back. But, fear's not part of the acting equation for me. You know, I know how to pretend to be afraid and to be fearful, or to give a character a reason or an insecurity that allows him to be afraid of certain things or to face certain kinds of things. But that's just part of the joy of being able to explore the human condition.
And you explore. You work more than anybody I can think of. I'm happy for that. Trust me.
Thank you. Didn't sound like it for a minute.
No.
I'm
very happy about that because I always appreciate when you show up. But I'm just wondering: are you driven by love for the art? Is that the main motivator in your heart to keep doing this
yeah,
so much work?
No, I love acting. You know, it's one of those kind of, you know, it's a passion. I mean, writers get up and write. You know, painters get up and paint. If I can get up and act every day, I'd be happy. You know, that'd be a wonderful thing. When I was in New York, when I was a young actor, I was always doing a play, auditioning for a play, or reading plays for people who were, you know, trying to get them put up. So acting is, you know, a real, real kind of passion for me. It's something I want to do. So people go, well, why aren't you directing yet? So that's something I want to do.
Thank you for being a legend, honestly. Like, you're so detail-oriented when you act. I love it.
Kong's got nothing on you.
Oh, wait, can we take a quick selfie?
Start date for the blob. No, not really.
Three, two. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Glad you enjoyed it.
Good job.